This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. California Governor Jerry Brown has pardoned three U.S. veterans as part of his Easter tradition of pardons and commutations for low-level crimes. What's different about three of the people that he pardoned is that they are non-citizen U.S. vets. Several cases of immigrants who served in the U.S. military and were promised citizenship but were deported because of convictions of minor crimes exist. Among the three who were pardoned by Brown recently is my guest, Hector Barajas, who came to the United States as a seven-year-old and enlisted in the Army after being a green card holder. According to the Sacramento Bee, Barajas was, quote, honorably discharged after serving with the 82nd Airborne Division and receiving Army Humanitarian Service and Good Conduct Medals. After being deported, he set up the Deported Veterans Support House in Tijuana, Mexico, and has been waiting to be let back into the country he considers home. I had spoken with Hector Barajas last July, and he now joins us once more. Hector Barajas is the director of the Deported Veterans Support House in Tijuana, Mexico. Welcome to the show, Hector.
Hi, good afternoon.
First of all, Hector, congratulations. Was this a victory that you expected?
We had submitted the pardon a while back. We didn't know it was gonna go through. I just wanted to make a correction also that most of the veterans that served, that we're working with, had green cards at one point. Now they would be considered without documentation, but they did have a green card.
That is a very important point. You're right, because even having a green card in the United States enables you to live here legally, but if you're convicted of a crime, that suddenly can invalidate your residency and make you ineligible for citizenship. And I've been there. I've been a green card holder, and I remember what it was like. So Hector, tell me, let's give a recap of your case. What was your status when you were serving in the military? What ended up leading to your deportation? And you can just give us a brief snapshot.
Sure. Basically, I was a green card holder. I served in the U.S. military 5 years, 10 months with the 82nd Airborne. Shortly after the military, I pled guilty to a discharge of a firearm and conviction. I went to prison for under 2 years. I was deported in 2004. And that's why I'm here. And it's been 13 years since I went to prison. And I'm now in the process of citizenship at the moment as well. And then I got the pardon on top of that, which makes it a lot easier for me to either get a green card or become a United States citizen.
So you served your time in prison, but you were still basically told now your residency is invalid, even though you served your time and you were kicked out of the country.
Exactly.
So what does this pardon actually mean by Jerry Brown? I mean, if you had served your time, why do you need to be pardoned? Is it a matter of clearing your record?
Exactly. If I had been pardoned before I went to detention in 2003, they would have probably released me because there would have been no conviction. It would have been erased. But I did get deported, and now what happens is the only reason they're denying me entry into the United States is because of the crime that was on my record, and now there's nothing there, so it just makes it a lot easier. I still have to go through immigration and go through their procedures, but it makes it a lot easier when you don't have a crime on your record.
Right. Now, of course, we should also clarify that to get back into the country once you've been pushed out is quite difficult. If you hadn't served in the U.S. military, it's not like they're handing out visas, right? Is your case kind of unique? What is the process by which a deported veteran comes back into the country? I imagine it's not a very commonplace thing.
It's not common. The only thing that's helping me out is that I'm considered a wartime veteran. So if I hadn't served during wartime, or veterans that did not serve in combat, they are not going to be eligible for citizenship, but they would be eligible to get their green card. So it's very complex, but it just makes it easier when you don't have a criminal record anymore. And that's why most people, when their 10-year ban is up, or when they try to come back through a humanitarian parole or any other type of way, it's very rare that anybody gets to go home, and it's because of those convictions and because they had no legal status. So this, you know, serving in the military and serving during wartime helps out a lot.
Now, you were one of three people who were pardoned. Tell us about the other two and where they are. And are they people that you are in touch with, or are they separate from your case?
They're men that we work with. Erasmo Apodaca is in Mexicali, and he's a family man. He's doing really good work with at the company where he's at. And he, it looks like, I was reading a little bit about his case, and he basically broke into a girlfriend's home, from my understanding, and stole $500 worth of property. That's why he was deported. And then the other guy looks like he killed a dog. U.S. Marine Corps, lives in Playas. I know there's a lot of animal lovers out there, but, you know, this guy paid his debt to society and then getting deported for, you know, it's animal cruelty or however you want to put it, but... You know, I think that's,
so Erasmo Apodaca and Marco Chavez, along with you, were the three men, the three U.S. vets who were pardoned. And, you know, Hector, there's this idea that we have to play into the politics of respectability when we talk about immigration. U.S. citizens would not be made to justify their presence in the country for crimes, especially petty crimes. What do you make of the fact that people feel that just because you were convicted of a crime, you don't deserve to be in the United States?
I think it's wrong, but that's the current law. That's the current, that's just the times that we're in, but we can change that. There's been some legislation that's been proposed, H.R. 1405 by Congressman Grijalva, and that would change some of these laws. But we want to see the end and the policy to end and deporting people, veterans, and just the separation of families. So we are working on it. I think it's wrong.
How many years have you been outside the United States now?
It's been 7 years this last time.
And have you felt like your life has been put on hold?
It is, and it's not, because at the same time, at least I'm out here free and I'm able to
you're not in detention.
Yeah, I'm not in detention, but it does feel like you're like in sometimes like prison, because you had a life sentence and you're not able to return. So
exile, maybe that's a good word.
Exile, there you go. That's a better word.
Tell me about the work you've been doing in Tijuana with a deported veteran support house. Has that given you a sense of meaning in your life while you've fought your own case and supporting other people like you?
Sure. Well, when we were in the military, we had a mission, objectives, and sometimes when we get out, we lose track, and then we don't have depending on the person. We lose that. And now I have I found a purpose in the mission, and this is it's been able to help me out. And right now, we've been successful in legislation and awareness, helping the men get their exams for their compensation, pensions. We have volunteer attorneys. We do everything from helping guys get their identifications, getting them prosthetic feet, to getting guys out of detention that call us from different parts of the country, and even men that are deported in different parts of the world, we connect them with other veterans. So we're doing quite a bit of work.
And in fact, are U.S. vets who have been deported entitled to any kind of benefits that veterans here in the U.S. get once they've served in the Army?
The one that is for sure and automatic is if they die tomorrow, they can be buried be given an American flag at their burial. The U.S. government will pay for their plot and their headstone.
In the United States?
In the United States. The only ones that are a little tricky to get are like the pension and compensation. So they are eligible for some benefits, but not the full benefits because they're outside of the United States.
So a deported veteran can make it into the United States after his or her death. That's one thing the U.S. Army guarantees.
That's guaranteed. That one's guaranteed. The other ones you've got to fight for.
Well, that is a sad irony indeed. Okay, so what is the status of your case right now? The fact that you've been so outspoken, done a lot of interviews, and just basically been talking about your case, I'm sure has helped draw attention to it. What sort of solidarity is required now? What would you need from those of us here in the United States who feel like your case is a travesty?
What's needed right now is for people to push legislation. In my individual case, I'm in the process of citizenship. We have till April 29th to send some rebuttal letters, and then all the other letters that have been sent.
This is you and your legal team.
Yeah, in my legal case, and then the pardon's going to be now brought up. So they might just say, you know, he's granted citizenship, and I might be home within the next couple of weeks. But who knows? Everything's a little on the up and up.
I'm assuming you have family in the United States that's waiting to see you?
Yes, I have a daughter, parents, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. Everybody's down there.
Wow. So your entire community, your network of family members are here in the United States.
Exactly.
And so what, of course, we've been covering your case and you've been fighting for the right to come back into the country well before this new wave of anti-immigrant enforcement and rhetoric under the Trump regime has happened. How have you been viewing everything that's been playing out in the United States this year from where you sit in Tijuana? And does it have any bearing on cases like yours?
What I've seen is that people are more open about their views against immigration. The Trump administration is just less, they're going to use less discretion and enforce the laws more. But we deported 2 million something people under Obama. Bill Clinton and George Bush has been deporting veterans. So, it's nothing new. They're just implementing immigration a lot harsher now.
It's more out in the open.
Yeah, I think it's the racism is more. I would say the racism is more out in the open. Maybe that could be,
When you say that we need to push for legislation, I'm assuming you mean in order to address all of the cases rather than individual case by case like yours, right?
And even still, the legislation is very partial to only bringing some deported veterans home. So it's very. It's not everybody's going home today or tomorrow. It's going to take a while.
What do you want to see happen in the United States in terms of laws changing? What would a law that was fair and ethical, aimed at non-U.S. citizen veterans, look like from your perspective?
What I would like to see is for all veterans, all deported veterans, to be recognized as U.S. nationals. And that would be a change in the INA 329. That would recognize us as nationals, and none of us would be eligible for deportation. We'd be able to stay in the country, or just law, just somewhere in the immigration law that would exclude us from deportation.
So basically, once you've served in the U.S. military, that it does become an automatic thing to get citizenship rather than risk the kinds of things that you risk when you are a green card holder.
That too, yes. Yeah.
Where can people find out more about the work that you do with the Deported Veterans Support House? Is there a website?
Sure. So they can contact us at deportedveteranssupporthouse.org. The organization, the coalition that I'm part of, is deportedvets.org. And I want to also thank Governor Jerry Brown, Nathan Fletcher, and Jenny Pasquarella, everybody in the ACLU and and the legal teams down there, my attorney, James Ursulis, because they're the ones that did a lot of the footwork. We just did the initial filling out of the forms and all the people that sent in letters of recommendation. So, they can find us on Facebook, deportedveteranssupporthouse.org, to learn more and support, donate, volunteer. You can't do any of those, you can call your congressman.
And we will certainly post links to those from our website later today. I'm so glad you brought up the ACLU and the kind of tireless work that immigration attorneys have been doing for years, and even more so in the last few months. And I think they are certainly often unsung heroes that are doing immigration advocacy work. Right, Hector?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be here without them because, I know the basic stuff, but they're the ones that put everything together. So I'm very thankful for them.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck, Hector. You know, I would love to interview you in person once you come back into the United States. So let's stay in touch and good luck with your case.
Well, we'll be home one day.
Thank you so much. Good luck
okay.
to you.
You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Hector Barajas is director of the Deported Veterans Support House in Tijuana, Mexico. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.